I believe, helps us to recenter our lives this time of year. Through the intentional focus that we give it, we begin to realize that this season is so much more than giving and receiving gifts. It's more than good food, though that's one of my favorites. And it's more than really good football, which I love. I love really good football, but it's so much more than that. You know what? It's even more than getting together with family and friends. It's even more than baby Jesus, especially our romanticized version of his arrival. It's more than those things. I believe Advent is primarily about God breaking into the world through his son Jesus Christ to redeem it, and that God promises to break into it again and to usher in a new heaven and a new earth. And in the meantime, we wait. We eagerly and we enthusiastically wait, and we faithfully live as lights for God's glory and for the sake of the world. And so our Advent experience begins today with hope, and we lean into our Christian story for inspiration. Had to choose a starting point, and so for today I chose Jeremiah. If you have your Bible or Bible app, open up with me to Jeremiah chapter 33, and we'll be there in just a moment. It's often stated that Jeremiah's life was a failure. And if you've ever read Jeremiah or Lamentations, you know this to be true. People didn't listen to his prophetic words. It's almost like he was on mute while he talked. He was dragged off at the end of his life into exile against his own will. And so by human standards of achievement, yeah, he's pretty much a failure. However, if we would take a moment to give a more balanced assessment to who he was and what he was trying to do, I think we would realize that it was his very words of judgment that saved Israel's faith from just crumbling at the seams. It was his words of anticipation that helped God's people to gain hope in God's future for them. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, I believe it's difficult for Christians to read the passages of Scripture that was read for us earlier. Luke read from Jeremiah 33, this passage about a righteous branch will come. It's hard for us to read those passages in any other light than messianic, the foretelling of Christ. And that's a theologically healthy way to read those passages. However, I believe it's worth us knowing and it's worth us remembering the circumstances in which that prophecy, and all prophecies in the Old Testament for that matter, it's worth our time to stop and to pause and to reflect on why it was first spoken and why it was first heard. To begin with, the promises that Jeremiah proclaimed were spoken to address a dreadful situation. The armies of Nebuchadnezzar, kids, that's a fun word to say, Nebuchadnezzar. He was king of Babylon, and his people and his armies were advancing. They were sieging upon the city of Jerusalem. The streets of the city of God would soon be filled with its corpses. And that's in verse 4 and 5. Matter of fact, the prophet himself, we find out in verse 1 of chapter 33, was thrown in prison by his own king, Zedekiah, because they weren't willing to listen. They thought he was crazy. And the worst hasn't happened yet, but it is inevitable. Any reasonable person who was alive and breathing during the time of Jeremiah could see that the city was under siege. And the ironic part of all of it is that Jeremiah's many prophecies of judgment, the prophecies that landed him in prison, were starting to come to fruition. They were starting to be fulfilled. And yet, in the midst of catastrophe, the prophet finally speaks a word of promise. It's a word of hope. In Jeremiah chapter 32, the chapter right before the one I called you to, he does something interesting. He purchases a piece of land, and as you read the chapter, you find out that it's actually an earnest purchase. It's a promise. It's an earnest of God's redemption that will come. Verse 15 of chapter 32 says, "For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land." So what does this mean? it seems that in the midst of impending and inevitable doom, a sign of hope was enacted by God. And then in chapter 33, Jeremiah speaks of this coming restoration, the restoration of first normal, just everyday life. There will come a time in the land of Judah when once again, verse 10, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and the sounds of gladness, the voices of bride and the voices of bridegrooms and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for he is good and his love endures forever." Do you sense the hope and the enthusiasm in this prophecy? And it's all on the doorstep of destruction. This passage that was read for us at the beginning by Luke, Jeremiah speaks of the restoration, not simply of everyday life, of one day at a time type of living and the joy and the gladness we try to seek in it, but also he speaks maybe of one of the chief signs of God's favor. It's the restoration of the line of David. He says a righteous branch will sprout. It will spring up after the exile is over. A similar image of this is found in Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. What I want you to see is that this image is one of great hope and unexpected joy, especially to a people that are about to be overtaken. There's a lot of irony in it. There's a lot of surprise in the prophecy. But it's a promise, you see. It's a promise of new life emerging from what looks like nothing but death and destruction. It's a promise to a people about to be devastated by loss and great pain. Jeremiah's prophecy offered hope. Verse 14, "The days are coming, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." And I don't know, maybe you can resonate with this today, but it seems for the people of Jeremiah's time, all is lost, all is coming to an end. But even in the midst of great pain and suffering and confusion, God is still faithful. God is still present. The house of David might be cut down in this very moment, in the day of Jeremiah, as he's sitting in prison. He can sense, he can feel that the house of David is about to be overtaken and taken captive. But God is able to bring life out of death. A branch will spring up. A branch out of a dead stump will spring up. And historically, of course, passages like this are interpreted to be speaking about the coming of an ideal ruler, the Christ, the Messiah, the descendant of David. He will execute justice and righteousness in the land. And he is the one, church, listen, he is the one that we wait for with great hope. It is Jesus' salvation that encompasses not just Judah, not just Jerusalem, but the whole world. And this is the hope. This is the promise that is like an anchor to our soul. It's what we cling to today. And so as disciples, we would do well to acknowledge, to realize that like Jeremiah, we often speak of hope. We often talk about and try to live faithful lives of hopeful expectation. But we must realize that there are also people around us who are living with great pain, great loss. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's the loss of security or the loss of relationships or other worldly possessions. Sometimes we go through times of loss and great pain. Maybe you can resonate with the people of Jeremiah. They're probably, at least in our country, not literal enemies knocking on your door, looking to take you into captivity. But we can still resonate with the emotions that the people of God must have felt in that moment, alone, fearful, hopelessness, like a sheep without a shepherd. So here's what I want you to hear this morning. No matter where you find yourself on the journey of life, no matter if you're in a time of joy right now or in a time of great pain or somewhere in between, no matter where we are on this journey, all of us can use a word of hope. A righteous branch will spring up. It's a word of hope, but not naive hope. Not naive hope. It's not an empty hope. Jeremiah is not someone who looks at the world through rose-colored glasses. That's not him at all. Understand, he's a prophet in prison, right? Thrown in prison by his own government for his prophecies of doom. And we too, as disciples, proclaim hope into hopeless places. But we don't do it. Listen, don't do it with rose-colored glasses. That seems like an empty, fake kind of hope. No, our hope, our message is one in a Christ who came and suffered and died and was resurrected and lives again. And so as fellow sufferers, as fellow sinners in need of God's grace, there is great hope in Jesus. It's a hopeful word that leaves us yearning for what God is going to do next. Be reminded of the hope that we have from 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil or fade. It is kept in heaven for you. Listen to me. A righteous branch will spring up for you and for me and for the world. And even so, that saving act of God is not really apparent in Jeremiah's day, in Judah's day, in their current situation. They didn't see it, they didn't experience it, but they heard the word of promise, even amidst an intimate enemy on their doorstep. And so a hopeful word, this is important for you to hear, a hopeful word doesn't always mean full deliverance. But it is a promise of something better to come. So wherever you find yourself, in the midst of great pain possibly today, in the midst of great grief or confusion or doubt, a righteous branch will spring up. And this word of tenacious hope is spoken to counteract all of the life-sapping, despair-inducing evidence to the contrary. Everything else around us in life tells us that things are decaying, things are dying, things are under imminent doom. And what we know to be true as Christians is that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Hope in Jesus reminds us that death does not have the final word. It doesn't. Jesus Christ has the final word. All day long, 365 days a year, Jesus has the final word. And in him, there's great hope. A righteous branch will spring up. Righteous branch will spring up. And it may come today. It may come tomorrow. It may come amidst a great cloud or fog. You can't see it. And as it begins to spread and to fade and to dissipate, you see the sprout coming from a stump that you thought was dead, that you thought was dormant. And here comes this life springing up out of it, a righteous branch that brings hope. Hope that does not disappoint. And my friend Jerry Taylor would say, somebody help me. Hello, somebody. That is good news. That is good news. That same proclamation of great hope is given to us. We are inheritors of Jeremiah's great task. We are called to speak a word of hope and promise in a world that is often filled with fear and uncertainty and even despair. And so, especially in this season of Advent, let us speak and live hopeful lives. In the midst of darkness, let light break in. In the midst of despair, in God's name, may hope just erupt like a volcano all over us. May hope rain down in the midst of wherever we find ourselves in this life. And after long waiting, after long eager anticipation of what God is going to do next, a righteous branch will spring up. It'll spring up. And we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But we sang about it today. And I just wanted to jump up and down and sing for joy and say, Lord Jesus, come. Because the clouds are going to part and the trumpets are going to sound and the voice of the Lord is going to sound like just a reverberating archangel, great clap of noise. And he's going to say, come home, my good and faithful servants. Come home. May he come quickly. But while we wait, may we be lights for his glory and for the sake of the world. Let me pray for us. So God, would you remind us through the power of your Spirit, would you remind us today of the great hope that we have in Jesus? And by the same power that lives within us, your Holy Spirit, God, would you empower us and unleash us into your world to be light, to be goodness, to be proclaimers of the hope that you have given us. Where there is darkness, God, would you help us to be light? Where there is despair, would you give us words of great hope? And God, we pray all of this for your glory and our joy. May the world come to know you as the one true, awesome God. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and close with this song.